Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Lovely podcast listeners, how are you? And may I be the first to say today, Merry Christmas. I'm feeling festive. 23rd of December. Very, very special Christmas special for you. How many times can I say special?
And Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. James, I've got James Williams, Glamour's wonderful associate editor with me today.
Resident man.
Yeah, resident man. But then today, I'm really in quite the man sandwich to end them all, because we have one of the most exciting guests, straight fresh from Glamour's cover to the Glamour podcast. It's the wonderful body coach, Mr. Joe Wicks.
Woo-hoo! Hello, everybody.
Hey, Joe, welcome.
This is my first ever podcast, so I'm losing my virginity on podcast right now.
Amazing. We feel so honoured.
Feels great. It's a strange environment. We're in a really big spacious cupboard.
We'll be gentle, we promise.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to promise that.
Yeah, it's just a total lie.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you.
And you. Merry Christmas. You excited?
Yes, absolutely. We finished today, so Christmas officially begins at lunchtime.
Oh, brilliant. So out on the booze then.
Yes.
Let the eating begin.
How dare you insinuate such things.
Yeah. Well,
my body's a temple, Joe. That's why we've got you here today.
You've got to let go at Christmas, haven't you?
How many mince pies have you had today?
I all over Christmas and Boxing Day as much as I can, so I've probably had about three already.
See, that's already great news. Because I think everyone would probably think, you know, you'd be, you know, one of these sort of people that would be like, oh, you know, you've got to rein it in at Christmas. But you don't have to, right? Come on, it's Christmas Day, Christmas Eve.
You know what I want for Christmas? I want you to send me a picture about 2 o'clock on Christmas Day, hunched over a big bucket of mince pies with a handful of celebrations in the other and a half a drunk bottle of port.
Turkey sweats.
Yeah.
Oh, I literally like nap, wake up, eat, sleep, wake up, eat again, like Christmas Day. It's just the day I eat. But I do like to work out sort of Boxing Day. I'll get back on it. But you got to have a blowout on Christmas Day, right?
Yeah. And is it with family Christmas Day?
Yeah, I'm going to have my family and my brother and his little baby now. So I'm an uncle, which is exciting. So we're
first
the family
one
together. Yeah, little nephew Oscar.
Oh.
But yeah, nice family and friends.
And are you doing the cooking?
I am. I'm going to give it a go.
Are you? Is this your first time?
I've done it before, but I'm not a fan of turkey, so I might just do a roast chicken.
I don't like turkey. I do lamb. Lamb's good.
Yeah, lamb would be good.
See, but I'm with Nigella on this. I think turkey gets a bad rep. People have been overcooking turkeys for years, and that's the problem. They think there's this idea you've got to shove your turkey in like the Tuesday before Christmas, and it really is because people are overcooking it. So it's actually quite good when it's done properly. It's all about Nigella's turkey bar.
James is basically in love with Nigella.
I am.
So the minute
he
says Nigella, I kind of just stop listening.
I love your books, Joe. I really do, but I do love Nigella.
I'm not as sexy as Nigella, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sure we've got some readers out there that would disagree.
Indeed. Now, when you are doing the cooking, because my husband is a vegetarian, and I sometimes do imagine when we invite people over that there's a conversation. I'm like, oh yeah, but they're vegetarian. Do your family go, oh God, is he going to give us quinoa balls instead of stuffing? Is there any of that?
I'm not a veggie myself, but I think there's some lovely, you can still have lovely vegetarian food if you're smart and you've got nice recipes and stuff. But for me, Christmas Day is about meat. It's about turkey, lamb, beef, yeah. pork.
Attaboy.
Getting meaty on Christmas Day.
My husband has to suck it on Christmas Day. Yeah. He can have a nice nut roast while I have a lamb.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the thing is, again, Joe, I mean, what I love about your books and your recipes is, you know, you have things like pie in there, you've got cheese in there. And I think this is what's brilliant. You are busting the myth and all these things I think that people have been taught over the years, bad advice you've been given about how you should be eating. And I just think it's brilliant. You're basically telling people it's not about suffering, is it?
Yeah, it's about, you know, you can eat carbs, you can eat fats at the right time, and it's
hallelujah.
People have been, it's just bad information out there, and people thinking the only way to burn fat is to starve yourself, but we know that doesn't work, right? So my whole philosophy on Lean 15 is about eating the right stuff, eating more of it, and doing your HIIT training so that you can, you know, eat more food and still stay lean, which is what we love, right? We love our food.
Yeah. Now, how many bodies in the nation do you think you've made over? So, rough guesstimate.
With my 90-day plan, so my online plan, I think 135,000 people have signed up.
Wow.
But with the book, I've sold 1.5 million books in 9 months.
Insane.
That's all right, isn't it?
I know.
It's quite a nice effort. Yeah. So,
what was the big turning point for you? Because, I mean, I've been following you on Instagram for quite a few years now. But, I mean, what was, do you think, the turning point when you thought this has truly exploded?
I don't know if there's one specific thing that kind of tipped me over the edge, but it was just like little bits of kind of doing this morning and Sunday brunch helped a lot, but it all just kind of built over time, you know, and then obviously once you get that momentum and then my first book came out, it was like the fastest selling book of the year. So it's all, I think that's helped a lot, the book getting me off social media into like people's homes and stuff.
And now the cover of Glamour, of course.
Yeah, which I love. I'm so proud of that, honestly.
We're yet to sell a million now. I'm really disappointed.
I know. Come on, Joe.
And all those photos we took and I was thinking, oh, I wonder what one it's going to be, but it's just, I think you've picked a lovely photo.
Aww.
That was my favourite from the very beginning.
Was it?
So that's the eye I had.
How many did you narrow down to? Did you have like a solution?
I think it was two, wasn't it?
I mean, that's the thing. You can tell a good shoot, I think, when you've got a lot of choice. And I probably had about six, which is a lot.
You made it very difficult, Joe, to be honest. There were too many good pictures.
There's a lot of directions we could have taken.
Yeah.
With the bit of the you know, the mild bulge of the bicep, the hair swept back. Yeah.
Well, we also can't go any further with that. Congratulating you on being the 10th sexiest man as voted for by the Glamour readers as well.
Wow, really? Oh, thank you very much. How do they vote for that? Who votes?
That was a public vote.
I think it was your mum.
Several times.
Yeah. Wow, that's nice. Never thought I'd make one of those lists.
There you go. Welcome.
Who's number one?
Who, oh my God, I've totally blanked. Who's number one? Oh, Jamie Dornan.
Oh yeah, he's a hunk, isn't he? The guy from Shades of Grey.
Yeah,
he's
not very ugly.
No,
yeah, he's very good. Yeah. Bloke.
My first awareness of you was it was during London Fashion Week about 2 years ago, and I was sitting by myself with the guy who regularly drives us around to all the fashion shows. He's a lovely guy. And he was asking me as a magazine editor if I'd heard of the Body Coach. And I said, no, who's the Body Coach? And he said, well, he's this guy and he's got this plan and it's all about, you know, clean eating and exercise and honest food. And then he pulled out his phone and showed me pictures of his naked torso before and after. So I'm sort of sitting there trying to have this normal conversation about going, your torso is looking great. So then that's when I decided to Google you and become aware.
That inappropriate intimacy was all your fault, Joe, basically.
I love that. It's nice that this thing is guys, girls, mums, dads all doing it. So it's nice that they're proud to talk about it as well and show you their torso.
But I think as well, you're really passionate. You talk about this in your featuring Glamour. You talk about kids, which I think is your next big thing, isn't it? Really trying to motivate kids. Because you had a young kid recently, I think, that's been doing your plan and had a huge transformation.
Yeah, but I met him at this, he contacted me over Snapchat and he said, you know, he picked up my book and he started reading. He's only young and he started doing the HIIT sessions at home and he's lost loads of weight and he's really confident. And it really made me think, I've tapped into a kind of young teenager who's like really into it now, and I want to replicate that somehow, like, and go into schools and work with NHS, because the obesity problem in the UK is just getting worse, right? So I really want to be leading that next year. Like, that's a really big effort of mine.
How do you balance, because as a women's magazine editor, if I talk in print about diets and losing weight, I basically get hung, drawn and quartered and told that I'm, you know, responsible for dysmorphia and upsetting people's body image. How do you talk to children about losing weight in that sort of like that delicate space?
Yeah, it's never really about, it's not about dieting, or it's not about, the message is just like, you know, cook healthy food and do exercise and feel strong and confident. It's not related just to weight or like body image. It's about confidence. And this kid, so picking up that book completely changed his direction of his life, because he's not getting bullied anymore. He's going to be a really confident teenager when he goes through school and college. If he had carried on his path the way he was eating, he'd gone bigger and bigger. So it's amazing if you get the message right and you just encourage someone, inspire them. It's not about making them feel bad, it's about making them feel empowered. Then that kid's going to really influence all his mates, and his mum's going to feel great about it and watch him, and hopefully all the whole household's going to get healthier.
And I just think it's about, I hate that word diet, it just feels like it's a fad, and I just think what it's about, it's not about a phase, it's about a whole new way of living. And I just think the word diet's got such a bad rap, and we always try to avoid using it, to be honest. I mean, the other word I hate is people say they're slimming. That's such a mum thing. Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to have pudding, I'm slimming. But you know, it's all part of that. It's like, you know, it's not just you don't have to be all sort of one thing or the other. You just need to find a balance, I think.
Yeah, and it's a lifestyle, isn't it? Like, we can all be lean or we can all gain body fat depending on what we put in our bodies when we wake up to go to bed. So my message is about just giving people a little bit of inspiration. You know, get off your bum, do this workout, go in the kitchen, cook your meal, and once you repeat that every day, you're lean and healthy. It's no magic, it's not a secret, it's not magic, it's just consistency to stick to something that's enjoyable, isn't it?
But also not, I think this is where you've really, I think, inspired people, is the fact that it doesn't have to be, you know, an hour every day of the week. You know, it's about short, sharp bursts, isn't it, of activity, and also the speed with which you can make healthy, nutritious food.
Yeah, I always say the less stress you have in the kitchen, you know, the more likely you are to stick to something. And that's what it is with Lean in 15. It's like healthy recipes, and the workouts can be done anywhere. Like, I do them in hotels, in my bedroom, in the garden. So it's anywhere, any time, no excuses, basically.
Have you ever had a moment of, or do you have moments of low body confidence?
Yeah, it's, when I was a teenager growing up, I was really, really skinny. So my brother used to be like, you're skinny. And it used to really... So when I could get to the gym, I started going like about 16, like to lift weights and just to feel a bit better about myself. But now, like, I'm 31 now, and I'm not so... I don't really worry so much about what other people think. But I think it's not about being ripped and lean all year round. It's about just being confident. Like, if you're happy walking along a beach, or if you're happy, you know, getting naked, it's something that we can all have all year round. It doesn't have to just be for that one week on holiday. You know, you can be fit and lean all year round.
And exactly. And obviously your DVD is out on Boxing Day, right? Tell us a bit about that and how that differs from, you know, the stuff you do on YouTube and on Instagram.
Yeah, so I went to Abu Dhabi and filmed this DVD, and I really wanted to make it something that's like progressive, so that, you know, it's not just like everyone's, you know, really difficult or really intense, not super hard work, but basically it's like 7 levels. So you build up from beginner to winner. I call it beginner to winner. And it's just going to be one of those things for people that aren't on social media or don't use YouTube. They can do this DVD at home. And I think that is really going to change a lot of people's bodies and lives, basically. I'm really, really excited about seeing that come out.
So those people have turkey sweats in the next couple of days.
Yeah. Hands up.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel with your Lean in 15 DVD on Boxing
and,
Day.
And there is no better walking, talking ad than the man himself.
Absolutely.
Looking very fit today and very fit on our cover. Check it out before it disappears, everybody. Right, Joe, so what we do on Glamour Hey It's Okay is we look at some topics and decide whether or not they're okay. Kind of does what it says on the tin, really.
It's not rocket science.
No, we're not good at rocket science. Thank God. But this is a bit of a minefield for me, this one. Is it okay to not send Christmas cards? I mean, I am just the worst. I wish you all Merry Christmas. And some of you will at this stage have a Christmas card that I have written to you and then failed to faff around getting the postcode and buying the stamps. So then in the middle of February, I will find the Christmas card that I really did intend to send to you. I do the same thing every year.
I'm so glad you're saying this, because I'm the exact same. I always feel like I will truly be a grown-up the year I get round to sending Christmas cards. And my mum and my aunts and everyone, all my family, always tell me off about it. They're like, for goodness sake, you're old enough now, you should be sending your own Christmas cards. And I don't know if it's some sort of weird subjective rebellion on my part, but I just can't get my arse in gear to do it.
Tell us, oh millennial one. Do people still send Christmas cards?
I feel quite bad, but I've never sent anyone a Christmas card.
Oh my God, we are terrible, terrible people.
I feel bad opening them, because I think, oh God, like, I open it great, but you know, you might put it on the shelf for a few days, but it's just going to get thrown away. And they, you know, there's hundreds of people spending thousands of pounds on cards. I'd rather send a nice text or a nice, you know, nice email.
I'm
really,
with you.
Are we old-fashioned?
I'm with you totally.
We're not old-fashioned,
are we? I'm going to pretend that it's all about the environment for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a waste of paper.
But it's all glittery and you're opening this glitter all over your hands.
Oh, but I feel that way about all cards. I have to say, the second I get given a card, whether it's a birthday card or a moving in card or something, I do just feel a bit stressed. I just think, oh God, how long have I got to keep it up for, and what am I going to do with it afterwards? And I do get this kind of slightly, like, you know, green guilt about, oh God, make sure you recycle it. And I don't know. I just believe in this world, you're either... the world is divided into two types of people. You're either a card sender or you're not. That's my genuine belief.
But I kind of want to be a card sender. The card sender are the same people who write you a thank you note on paper and post it after a dinner, or just send you a nice note because... And I kind of want to be one of those ladies.
True grown-up
ladies.
They're
just kind and considerate and caring, and then it makes you think, do I have to send one back to them? And then you've got to... Before you know it, you've got to write 20 cards.
Well,
it's probably admin as well. Going to the post is admin. It is admin. Work.
But then there is the passive-aggressive Christmas card as well. On the rare occasion that I have managed to get a few out, and then I get one back and I think, you've only sent that because I sent you one.
Yeah.
Then where's the sincerity?
Well, this is my point. Where does it stop? Because I have genuine friends and relatives who are so card-obsessed, they'll end up sending thank you cards to thank people for sending them a card. And it's like, it could never stop. It's
That's
just a constant
real.
Exchange of cards. Honestly. There are some people just love giving cards.
You know, you get around to some of your friend's house and they've got like 30 cards like hanging on the wall like in a big arch, like on a piece of string.
But some people love it, don't they?
No one's got Venetian blinds anymore. It used to be the Venetian blind thing, didn't it? Until they all came crashing down. There was like literally hundreds of Christmas cards when I was a kid at my parents' house.
My parents are still very proud. When I ring them up around Christmas time, they'll be like, how many cards? Guess how many cards we've got? And I'm like, oh, really?
Really, yeah.
I'm not bothered.
Is it a status symbol, do you think?
I think it used to be, but they really, everyone is up. But it's almost like a 3-week job.
I think we all better right now think of something quickly that we all do that's nice for somebody else at Christmas.
I'm kind of with you, the job. I genuinely do make a point of sending messages on Christmas Day to my nearest, my dearest, and not just a round robin. I'll send individual ones.
What, so you send a text to your mum?
No, well, look, my mum's real lucky. She gets to see me in person. I think it's quite a nice thing to do because it is the modern day equivalent of sending like a letter or a telegram.
I'm going to do a Facebook Live on Boxing Day, so I'm going to get everyone exercising. That's my way of giving back and saying, come on, have a lovely day and let's do a workout together. So that's my Christmas gift to all my followers.
Yeah. I feel the same way about like wrapping paper as well. I mean, I love it. In my head, I love the idea of making a real effort and getting lots of different types, but yeah. I'm just never going to be that organised. Like you said, life admin is not my friend.
I think I really annoy my family, extended and immediate, with how much I love gift wrapping. I think they take that as aggression on my part, that I've really gone to town with the bows and the colour theme, and they just want to get it done with a bit of a sticky tape.
But again, it's one of those things, you can either wrap or you can't.
I'm terrible.
Are you? But I quite like that. Sometimes I quite like seeing a really shittily wrapped gift under the tree, because it really amuses me.
Run that show at Harrods. I love gift wrapping. So that can be my contribution. I'll make everyone's present look nice, no matter how rubbish it is underneath the wrapping.
But yeah, I just want to say for the record, I actually love Christmas, and I do wish everyone a lovely, happy Christmas. I'm just never going to get around to putting it in a card form, I'm afraid.
Yeah, agreed on that. Are we all in agreement?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you know on Christmas Day. If you get a text from me, yeah, then you'll see.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, well, I think we've outed ourselves. There's one ritual that none of us have, is the Christmas cards. But is it okay to have any Christmas rituals? I can't really... Do you know what I think the worst and most embarrassing thing is? I actually copied a Christmas ritual off Modern Family.
Oh, what was that?
That's a bit sad.
What's that then?
Well, I just saw that the Pritchetts had this thing where they... I really love Modern Family, and my daughter loves it as well. It's the one TV show we can agree on. And they have this ritual where every Christmas Eve, they all each get a new pair of pyjamas. And so now my family gets new pyjamas on Christmas Eve. I copied it off the telly.
That's quite sweet, though.
That's quite nice. I've got two traditions. Mm. One is we always open one present each on Christmas Eve. Like, you know, one, you just go under the tree and grab one.
Yeah.
We all got one. And on Christmas Day, we all play either Cluedo or Monopoly after we've had our dinner. Is that normal?
No, but Monopoly can lead to all-out warfare.
Punch-ups, yeah.
Scrabble can get really aggressive is what I find. Trivial Pursuit. I mean, anything really. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do like traditional Christmases, and obviously it's nice to have rituals, but I think the difference for me is, I think because I've done things like I've had Christmases away from my family, I've had Christmases in hot climates. So for me, there's not so much baggage associated with one right kind of Christmas. I'm kind of quite relaxed about the whole thing. But I do get that some people get very tense with the idea of breaking with any kind of tradition, like not having the full turkey and all the trimmings. Or
I do miss my mother's. I don't see my parents that much at Christmas. They're in Australia. I do miss that my mother getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to stick a turkey on the Weber barbecue.
Wow.
So that's, we still have in Australia.
Overcooking that turkey.
I'm telling you, the Aussies, it's a slow cooker. Shut up, Nigella. It's like, you know, 35 degrees and my mother still insists on the baked English traditional dinner, but we have it barbecued.
Yeah, well, no, I like that idea. I mean, I think the thing is, I think there are people, and I think it's especially, this is a good one for you, Joe, because you said you're hosting Christmas this year. I think people that take to hosting, especially the first time, can really stress themselves out about making it the perfect Christmas. And I think about getting all those traditions right. And I think it is a shame, because I think people can get quite stressed out. And I'm with you when you were talking about making food and preparing food. And I'm a big believer in, if you're stressed out while making food, it's not going to taste good. You almost put into the food the energy you have whilst creating it.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I think sometimes, you know, traditions are good and rituals are good, but to the point of stressing you out, to the point where you're miserable and you're putting that into your food, not
it's
good.
Oven space. I just wish I had two ovens, because I always struggle, like, the timing of the roast and the potatoes.
You can afford two ovens now.
Come on.
I've only got a little flat, so.
You should have written to Santa for a bigger oven.
Do you want to borrow my camp oven that I had when I was renovating my kitchen?
Put it on the barbecue.
Yeah. It's always, I think, do I put the potatoes in first or the, like, you know, and you want everything to be hot at the end. Mm. It's a complex manoeuvre, isn't it, doing a Christmas dinner?
What are you doing for pudding?
Ooh, I'll do something like, oh, I love an apple crumble, or stick a toffee pudding.
So no actual Christmas pudding for you?
I don't like Christmas pudding with all that liquor and all that, and set
Christmas
on fire
cake.
And all that. No, it's
hate
nasty.
It. Yeah.
See, this is where people fall out, isn't it? Because, I mean, for as much, I don't think anyone genuinely, truly likes Christmas pudding, but you've got to have it.
No, it's disgusting.
It's weird, the fruitcake thing, like, with, like, you put, like, liquor and you set it on fire and all that nonsense.
I just think it's the worst representation of 70s food. I can't bear it.
Well, it's suet, isn't it? Which is never a good word, suet.
And I don't like the whole sticking the money in it.
Well, that's just a...
Money's gross.
That's a dental bill waiting to happen.
About the money thing?
You're supposed to put money in the Christmas pudding, aren't you? But then you just break a tooth on it and then end up spending a fortune
at
the dentist.
Or choke on it.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Yeah.
Choking hazards galore.
Never had that one.
I'm with you on an apple crumble. May I suggest adding some berries?
Yeah, apple and raspberry. Blackberry crumble's nice.
Yeah.
Just a British pudding, or like sticky toffee pudding, or like a chocolate, even like a eaten mess with like some meringue and some berries and double cream is a bit of a winner.
Does it count as a ritual to pass out into a carb coma about 4 o'clock on
Absolutely.
Christmas Day?
Absolutely. That's a total tradition.
Yeah, like all you're watching, like, you know, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and you fall asleep.
Top of the Pop special or something.
I do
like
love
that.
The Christmas movies. That's what gets me. As of Christmas Eve, the Christmas movies, like, you know, even like Jingle All the Way with, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, they just make you feel like Christmas, don't they?
Well, I think your taste levels go out the window at Christmas as well. You end up watching absolute shit on TV, like Mrs. Brown's Boys, which I know Joe's a secret lover of. But also, I think,
Love,
you know, all your common sense, you know, you eat like a pig, you watch terrible TV, but I think because you know it's for that one day and one day only, so you kind of go a bit mad.
Yeah, it feels great.
What is it about, you can eat a full 3-course meal and then 2 hours later you're thinking, yes, turkey doorstep sandwich, let's go for it. You know, you're hungry again, it's weird.
It's like, and then you get the twiglets out and then you get the cheese out and you just get, you know.
Cheese board, man. It's all about the cheese board.
And I go through the... you know, the celebrations or the Quality Street, leave all the bad ones for my brother.
Which ones are always left in your house? I find that's really interesting as well, when you find out which families do dismiss which chocolate.
Hang on, which one gets left?
Because I maintain no one really likes an orange cream or a strawberry cream.
Oh, the creamy ones get left till last year.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't believe that you eat all this at Christmas. I just don't.
But it's only for one day, right, Joe, you said?
Oh, yeah, I eat, I probably reckon, like, triple the amount of food I eat on Christmas Day.
You should Snapchat that.
I will. I'll definitely Snapchat it'll be all over it.
But I like your tradition about the presents, because that's actually quite royal, because I think then all the royal family open their Christmas presents all on Christmas Eve.
Really?
Apparently so, yes.
Why would they do that?
Because my grandmother had no patience when it came to opening Christmas presents, so she would always bring out that stat to basically make us all open our Christmas presents on Christmas Eve.
Didn't know that. Yeah, that's a bit apparently. Unfair.
And what do you want for Christmas, Joe?
I want to for Christmas. I'd like to get a new bicycle.
Ah.
Yeah, like a nice bike to go cycling around Richmond Park.
Lovely. Any particular colour or...?
Just nice and, I don't know, I like black, like matte black, you know, yeah. Like a bit of a stealthy one. But I live near Richmond Park, so I do a lot of cycling, so that'd be probably my ultimate present, would be a nice new racing bike.
Well, we'll see if you've been a good boy. Right, so... We've covered a lot of ground today. I want to talk about, inevitably, I want to talk about social media with the social media kingpin here in the pod cupboard with us today. Is it okay to spend Christmas Day on social media? I know it's not really okay. I know it's frowned upon, but I'm totally going to do it. What about you, Joe?
I'll tell you one of the things that really drives me mad is when people... They lay all their presents out on the floor, like proper, every present in like a little line, and take a photo and put it on Instagram. Be like, oh, look what my boyfriend got me. Look at it's too much. It's personal. Keep that to yourself. Like, you know, that shouldn't be shared. I think it's weird. But in terms of like, you know, checking in and wishing people happy, I'll be wishing people Merry Christmas because obviously my business is on social media. What do you think? Are you going to stay off it or will you stay on it on Christmas Day?
No, I'm probably going to have intense moments of boredom where the first thing I think to do is see what everyone's doing on Twitter, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I think the thing is, again, you're with your family and my mum is always telling me off for being on my phone too much anyway. So I know it's going to be probably one of the causes of an argument at some point during the day.
But I'm one of these people, I like chatting about whatever everybody is collectively watching on TV.
Yeah.
I love that.
Sometimes you enjoy the social media bit more than you enjoy the programme. It actually enhances, it's like an enhanced way of enjoying a TV programme now, I find, actually doing it on Twitter.
And once we've eaten and done the presents and everything, my family don't particularly care because we're all just sitting watching TV, but it's fine. And I think there are some amazing benefits of social media at Christmas time. Obviously, we're all very lucky. We all know we're spending time with our families. We know we're going to be eating a lot and having a generally lovely day by the odd Monopoly fallout.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are really lonely at Christmas, and it really highlights that. And that's why I think Sarah Millican, the comedian for the last few years, has done a hashtag called Join In. So where if you are alone on Christmas Day, you can search that hashtag and chat to other people who are feeling a bit alone. And I think that it's things like that that I think, gosh, when I'm an old lady, I might never have to be alone in the same way that some other old ladies are because of social media.
And also, I think,
it's
you know,
dark thought for you, isn't it?
But also, yeah. I think, you know, social media can be awful in some respects. But I think when it comes to something like that, it's actually amazing. That's a brilliant thing about social media. You know, it does bring people together at really horrible times.
Are you going to feel, Joe, like it's work, like you have to do stuff on social media on Christmas Day? Or
I think what I'll do is I think I'll document everything I eat just to show people that I'm absolutely a food monster on Christmas Day. And then I'm going to do the Facebook Live on Boxing Day. So I'm going to promote it so that anyone that's feeling a bit sluggish, and we all do on Boxing Day, and you're going to eat so much food Boxing Day as well because it doesn't stop, does it? So I'm going to say, get up on Boxing Day, let's do a HIIT session. And I think that'll be one of my busiest HIIT sessions of the year because people will want to do something in the living room. But I don't think, for me, it's work, but it's fun. Like, I enjoy it. So, I love it.
Correct me if I'm right, Joe. If I'm wrong, Joe. When you want to take a break from your socials, right? Do you just, if you tell people, they're fine about it, right? It's like when I think if you just disappeared without giving them pre-warning, that's when people freak out and start giving you loads of hassle about it. Is that
right?
Yeah.
If I don't update my Snapchat story, like people genuinely worry. They're like, "Where are you? Everything all right?" But I'm like sometimes now we'll say I'm having a day off Snapchat just so people don't, because I get bombarded with messages asking me where I am and stuff. But people are just so used to doing it every day, like updating your story, so they. If there's a gap, they think there's something wrong. But
God, does that feel like being stalked at any point?
No, they're always being friendly. They're always saying, "How are you?" and stuff. But I've built a really successful business off of it. And the reason I've sold 1.5 million books is because I'm so engaged with my audience. And I message them back and say thank you. And I can't lose that. And I've got to keep that going.
And I guess it's second nature, right? You don't really know any different now at this point. So.
Like social media is a full-time job, but it's something that I like. It's become my job. But in the beginning, it was just like for fun, right? So I'm still really passionate about it because I have fun doing it.
And I'm not ashamed to say, actually, last year I got given a vinyl record player and some very hilarious records, and I probably did spend about 30 minutes organising that one Instagram picture to try and make it look as perfect as I wanted it to be. I'm that sad. I will admit that. So
I can't remember what I got last Christmas.
Well, it's because my family did this really good thing now, you see, because I think we introduced Secret Santa a couple of years ago. So what we do is, rather than we all buy essentially quite bad presents for each other, which are worth like 10 or 15 quid, we decided a couple of years ago we were going to pull one name out from within the family and everyone got one gift that was worth like 200 quid.
Right.
So you get one really good present as opposed to loads of crap presents.
Okay.
So I got this vinyl record player, so I was really happy with it. So that's why I did spend an inordinate amount of time on that picture.
Here's one for you. What are your worst presents? Oh. Can either of you top my used lipstick?
Used lipstick?
From my dear mad old great auntie many years ago. Or
was it so obviously used, by the way?
Oh yeah, it was like it was orange, it had sort of grooves in it, and it had a square, it was squared off. It's like totally used.
Does she know she's giving a used one?
I suspect yes.
Wow.
Quite, yeah. I love my mad great old auntie. She's dead now, so she can't listen to this and be offended.
No.
But my other one was a tube of £3.99 face wash from Boots.
I always get really bad, like, toiletry stuff off of my aunties. It's like, oh, you know, Link's, like, family pack, and I don't use Link's.
Careful, don't cause any family rows over this segment of the podcast.
I've been wearing Link's since I was, like, 12, so
yeah.
They're like, oh, really? Like,
that's the right age to give up Link's as well. I think 12, 13 is the time to give up.
I think that's your auntie's cry for help, is that, you know, he's the man who's got everything. What the hell can I buy him? That's the equivalent of the men you see in Selfridges on Christmas Eve, just saying to the perfume girls, that. That's what your poor
aunties
do. I just
love pants and socks at Christmas. I love getting a year's supply of pants and socks.
That's interesting. So I was going to say, that for me is what makes me go a bit like, oh, because I just think, you know.
But then you are right.
I never actually buy them myself. It is good because you never have to do it. But
yeah, they're usable. You get a good use out of them.
And, you know, you've got to consider the chafing on that new bike. So the new duds have to be up to it.
But also, I'm all about full transparency, I think. The idea of being surprised is overrated. I think if you really want something, just get someone to tell the person that's buying you something what you want. Because I just think you're better off. And also, I think it takes the stress out of it. I think what you were saying, Joe, about people just constantly running around or your poor aunt not knowing what to buy you. I think if they were just told, yeah, Joe wants this, they'd be like, great, getting it, you know?
Going back to social media, maybe just don't tweet that you don't like the present, because then everyone yells at you for being ungrateful. It's like not just your relatives, the whole of Twitter yells at you for being ungrateful.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Yeah. Just stick to your elf watching. Yeah. Well, that's Christmas done. I hope it's been lovely and sparkly for you. It certainly has for us.
We've got to get a turkey on now.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping, you know, I was still waiting for the invite round to Joe's house. It sounds like there's enough for an army going
on.
We'll
bring Link's.
Yeah. Yeah, bring some Brussels sprouts.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks
for having
Joe.
Me, and thanks for putting me on the cover. I loved it.
And thank you for being on our cover. It's been a very special moment for us, and sold out.
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully. Yeah. Happy Christmas, Joe.
Totally. Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy Facebook Living for Boxing Day.
Thank you.
Good luck with the sales of the DVD.
Not that you need it.
15.
I think 2017 is going to be another bumper year, I think.
Yeah. And we can obviously see you on Instagram at The Body Coach. Is the Snapchat the same?
Yeah. At The Body Coach on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat and Facebook.
You know all this anyway. Everybody follows him. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.